want to take this combined adult class opportunity and teach this morning on the subject of prayer, something that I want us to visit every single year, several times every single year. One of the imperatives of a church that has the blessing of the Lord upon it is that we must be a people of prayer. And so it's good for us from time to time to go to the scriptures and understand that, have that reinforced to us. So I want to encourage you in your prayer life, encourage you to be a people of prayer. In Matthew chapter 14, we are given the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 14, if you look down at verse number 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and to go before him unto the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there." Look, notice this last word, alone. He was there alone. Now, we're going to talk about this, but I think if Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, and all that he was, sinless, powerful, all that he was, if he understood the need to pray, boy, how much more do we need to pray? Let's pray now and ask God's blessing on the teaching of the Bible. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example of your Son. May we learn from it. May we understand this morning the impact of prayer and be encouraged in our prayer lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's going to be the title of the Sunday school lesson this morning, The Impact of Prayer, The Impact of Prayer. Several things I want you to notice. Jesus, in verse number 22, had to constrain his disciples to get into a ship. I think one of the things that you see the Lord Jesus from time to time having to almost fight for, and that is for alone time. Can somebody say amen to that? It's not easy sometimes to just get some alone time. And he had to constrain his disciples. You know why? Because they didn't want to leave him. They liked being with Jesus. And I'm glad about that. And I think Jesus was blessed by that. But the honest truth is, sometimes he had needed to tell the people that were so insistent that they wanted to be with him and spend time with him. Every once in a while, he had to turn around to them and say, "Listen, I need you to go away. All right. Matter of fact, I'm not giving you a choice. Okay, I'm taking you down to this ship, and I'm going to constrain you to get into that ship," which if you take a look at the definition of that word, I want you to picture Jesus, them arguing with him and say, "Well, Lord, can't we stay? I mean, you know, what are you going to do? We want to do it with you, and we can pray." And you know what he did? The word takes the idea of taking somebody by the elbow and putting them somewhere. And it's almost like I can see Jesus as they're talking saying, "Get into the ship." And this is something that I think it's good for all of us to be reminded of from time to time, is that we have to be willing to be a people that seek those opportunities to have some alone time with God. I look around, we've got our young adult class in here, and I think about when I say that alone time, I look at the mothers kind of smile like, "Man, that's a dream," you know? And I remember my wife sometimes when all the girls were little, she would say, "You know, I even just to go to the bathroom, I'd shut the door and, you know, just to have some alone time. And I wouldn't be in there 10 seconds and a little hand would be under the door going, 'Mommy, Mommy, what's alone time?'" You know? But you know what? It's important. It's important that we take the time and set aside some alone time with God. And then what did he do? He not only sent his disciples away, he sent the multitudes away. And I think, you know, sometimes the disciples are people that are serving with him. The multitude is the people that he's trying to reach. He wants to be impactful into the life of the disciples. I mean, that's why he has them there, to disciple them. He wants to impact the multitudes with the truth of the gospel, but in order to be effective to both train Christians and reach the lost, then that means he can't always be with Christians or he can't always be with the multitudes, because Jesus understood that if I'm going to be impactful, if I'm going to have an effect on those that I'm trying to help and try to be a blessing to, sometimes I have to get away from those folks. not to just get away from them, but to get alone with the Lord. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. And then we'll look down at verse number 25. I'm going to teach all of this, but it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And that's the darkest part of the night. That's the darkest part of the night, which is right before the dawn. So we can tell by this that Jesus didn't go up into the mountain and just pray for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. Jesus went up to spend the night in prayer before the Lord. And he needed that. But what's the purpose of the Sunday school lesson this morning? To try to take one more shot at encouraging and convincing us all as Christians that if we're going to impact the world, if we're going to impact whoever God has given us to disciple, whether it's mothers impacting your children, teachers impacting a Sunday school class, bus workers impacting those young people, nursing home workers having an impact, if we're going to impact the saved and impact the lost, then we must be a people of prayer. We must have those alone time with God. And so I want to go down through the scriptures and talk about this matter of how prayer impacts different people and different things. Let me just give you a good outline here. Number one, prayer impacts God. Prayer impacts God. In Psalms 141:2, we read, let my prayer be sent forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now think about that. Let my prayer be set before thee, talking about God, as incense. So the idea of incense being set before somebody, something that is a pleasant aroma, something that is that's soothing, that's comforting, you know, well, you know what our prayers does? It impacts God. If we set them before him as incense, the lifting up of my hand as an evening sacrifice, it means something to God. It means something to God. Proverbs 15:8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Boy, get that? So when we go before the Lord and we pray, it's like a pleasant incense. I think God says, boy, what's that? And then all of a sudden, it's like an evening sacrifice. It's like it's something that is a delight to him when he sees his people come before him in prayer. It impacts God. It means something to God. I believe that there's some things that God will only do in response to prayer. And you know what? I think it was John R. Rice that used to tell the illustration. If you have never read his book on prayer, asking and receiving, it's a classic. I think every Christian, one time in your life, ought to sit down and read the book written by John R. Rice on prayer, on asking and receiving. But he said this. He said, I think maybe when we get to heaven, God will take us over to a room and open the door, and there'll be all of these wonderful things in there. And they'll say, God, what are all these? And he's going to say, well, that's all of the things I longed and wanted to send for you and to you, but you never asked for it. You never asked for them. And folks, there's some things that God will only do in response to prayer. Well, I want you to understand this. I'm for working, and I'm for being busy, and I'm for, you know, doing our part and serving the Lord. But I say this verse often, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And you know what, folks, let's go out and knock on doors, but let's pray and then go knock on doors. Let's go out and look for some new bus riders, but let's pray first and then go look for new bus riders. You know, I just believe this, labor absent of prayer is almost, I believe it's wasted labor. You know what it is? It's almost a declaration of God to God. Prayerlessness is a declaration to God that we can do it without him. Now think about that. Prayerlessness is a declaration to God, hey, Lord, don't worry about it. I won't bother you. I got this. And then sometimes I think God just sits back and says, okay, I'll just sit up here and watch you get it then. You know, hey, I'm talking about, listen, I wouldn't come to the pulpit and preach without first going before God. I wouldn't go to the pulpit and sing without first going before God. You understand, folks, when we get into the idea in the Christian life, you know, what's the difference between a new bus captain sometimes and a bus captain that's been doing it for 20 years. Here's what can be the, I'm not saying it necessarily is, but I'll tell you what the danger is. Man alive, you brand new bus captain, preacher comes to him and says, listen, I want you to be a bus captain. I need you to be a bus captain. And they're like, who, me? And boy, all of a sudden they realize and feel their inadequacy and the weight of the responsibility hits their shoulders. And you know what it does? It drives them to prayer. I can remember the first time that I was enlisted in Bible college to be a bus captain. And man, I remember the weight of the responsibility. I went on to that route and I began to visit. Don't panic, it's just a cell phone. Brother Sean's got it, no problem. I've been that guy a few times. I was helping a guy, so I was just the worker. And I was helping on this route. All of a sudden, they take me from one area of Chicago to a completely different area of Chicago. The guy that introduced me to my bus route basically just dropped me off on a corner and said, all right, from this corner down 5 blocks that way and then up 6 blocks that way, that's your bus route. See you later. And, that was my initiation. That was my training. And I wandered around trying to figure out where I was and where my boundary was and running into this kid and talking to him and scribbling something on a piece of paper and sticking it in my pocket. And then by that, I mean this, I was so unorganized and I didn't know really what I was doing. And I literally just almost wandered the route. I didn't do it right. I didn't do it in an organized fashion. I remember getting back to my dorm room. I was just a single college student, and I had kids' names written down on all kinds of pieces. I'm literally emptying my pockets on my bed, and there's scraps of paper and this. I'm picking pieces of paper off the street and writing names, and I've got this, and I realized half of them I didn't ask their address. I remember thinking to myself, this is going to be the biggest failure ever. But you know what it did? I remember taking all those papers. Now, folks, I'm just talking about, you know what? I'm just a 19-year-old bus or college kid. And I took all those papers and I took them off my bed and I laid them on the floor and I just began to get on my knees and I said, God, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I talked to kids and told them I'm going to pick them up and I don't even know where they live. And Lord, I got to have your help. And I, you know what I did? I just sat over the top of that pile of scrap paper and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until God gave me peace that it's okay, you can go to bed. I think that you've realized what you need to realize, that it's not about you anyway, what you can do. And I got up the next morning, headed to that bus route. It was a brand new route they were starting. And lady workers, there were some lady workers that were assigned to me. I'd never met them all day Saturday. They were visiting the same area. I missed them. And so I met them on Sunday morning. I'm getting up there trying to convince the driver and the workers that I actually know what I'm doing. I think they figured out real quick I didn't. And so when we got to the route, the bus driver said, how do you want to do this? I said, well, this is the last street on my route. Let's just drive those 6 blocks, go to the next one, drive the 6 blocks, just drive slow and look for kids that look like they're ready to go to church. And I had this mess of a list that didn't make sense. He's looking at it, I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know where half the... And you know what? We just did that. We just went slowly down. And you know what? Pretty soon there'd be some kids kind of standing there on the street looking at the bus. I don't know whether they're just watching us. I don't remember if I talked to them. I opened the door. Hey, you coming to church? Yeah, you talked to me. Oh, I remember. All right, come on. I didn't remember. And we pick up a few on this block and pick up a few on this block and pick up a few on this block and come down. And we're just driving slow. Sometimes we'd miss a kid and we're looking in the rearview mirror. They're chasing the bus, And you know what God did? At the end of winding through that route, on those 5 streets, 6 blocks long, I looked back and there were 72 kids on that bus. And listen, folks, come on now. You heard my story, didn't you? You know how much Jerry Ross really had to do with that compared to what God did? Very little. Now, listen, folks, you don't get to sit at home and do nothing and hide behind prayer and be lazy. God wants you to get out there and get it. But the honest truth is, compared to what we do, and what God does, let's be reminded that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that's built it. And man, I got so excited. I got so excited. And man, I remember, I probably told you this before, first week I was ever a bus captain, 72 kids on the bus. And I was so excited because they didn't realize it, but I realized that God had done this. I realized that when I was in my dorm room praying over those pieces of paper, that God in heaven heard me. And he just showed me, you can do this because I'm going to help you do it. And we started to pull out of our bus route area, and I got about two blocks from our bus route. And I'm sitting there looking at these kids. And I mean, you talk about sometimes it just flows over you, all right? And I'm looking at these kids, and I'm thinking, man, I got to run a bus program. And all I kept thinking about was, man, God, you did this. You did this. And so I finally just went over to the bus driver, and I'm like, pull over. And he said, we forget somebody. I said, no, just pull over. And so he looked at me like I lost my mind. So I pulled over the side of the road, and I got out of the bus. And, folks, I never did it after that. I never did it since then. But I just started walking around that bus and shouting and praising God. And I mean, I was just having a fit, and I was crying and shouting. And I walked around the bus about two times just doing that. And all the kids are just watching out the window, and they're thinking, who is this crazy man? You know, take me home. I don't know what I've got myself into. And I got back on the bus, and I led a program, and God moved. And we saw some kids say, hey, you know what? I'm so glad God came early in my training to be a preacher and taught me something. Okay, what I want you to understand is this. Prayer impacts God. Okay, prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer moves the hand of God. Okay, preacher, I just keep wishing. Stop wishing and start praying. How about this? I keep worrying. Stop worrying and start praying. Okay, because God is impacted by prayer. But I want you to see something else. I want you to understand, number two, prayer impacts your family. Prayer impacts your family. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to just, I said this, mentioned this briefly last week or the week we had Mother's Day, and I want to, again, encourage you mothers, don't ever quit praying for your children. You know, I remember hearing the testimony of Jim Della Schmidt, who, you know, I don't have time to tell the whole testimony, but a man that had a Christian mother but rebelled against God and went out, and he ended up moving eventually to St. Louis and started the Hell's Angel chapter, a motorcycle gang, that chapter in St. Louis. This man started that. But you know what? You know why he eventually got saved? He had a mother that would not quit praying for him. Would not quit praying for him. She'd call him and irritate him. He said, I've slammed the phone down on my mom. I've cussed my mom. He said, I'm not proud of it. But she'd call me every week, every Saturday night. Jimmy, why don't you come by and come to church with me? Jim, and just drive him crazy. But you know what? There was a day when he called her, or she called him. And he said, I almost didn't answer. I know mom, and she's just going to make me mad. And he opened the phone. He said, Mom, I'm just telling you right now, don't ask me going to church. I'm not going to go to church. And she said, no, I wasn't going to ask you because I figured out why you wouldn't go, why you don't want to go. And he said, what'd you figure out? And she said, well, I realized why you don't want to go to church. Well, why is that? You're scared. That's what his mama told him. I realized you're too scared to come to church. I'm not scared to come to church. I'll see you there in the morning. Bam. And so then he said, after I hung up, I just realized that woman tricked me. She tricked me. But you know what? He walked into church that Sunday morning. I won't go through the whole story. But man alive, that preacher preached and God convicted his heart. He came from that back row and knelt down and was saved. You know why? Because a mother wouldn't quit praying. Johnny Pope, some of you have heard Johnny Pope preach. You know, one of the most amazing preachers in America. Just a fantastic, fantastic preacher. But you know what? Wayward, away from God. And you know what his mama did? Every single Saturday night when he went out to carouse, she would go into his room, go into his closet, pull out a pair of his shoes and use that as an altar and pray over that pair of shoes. And he said, many a night I'd come sneaking in at 2 or 3 in the morning, having been out there doing all the things I shouldn't be doing, and I'd crack open the door and look into my room thinking I'm going to slip in, and there's my mom. My shoes would be soaking wet with her tears, and I'd listen to her pray and say, oh God, please guard my son's feet. Don't let him walk in the paths of evil. And you know what? He said that happened week after week after week until finally one Saturday, I came in early in the morning, early Sunday morning. My mom was praying. He said I was under such conviction that he said I dropped on my knees beside my mom by those shoes, and I got saved. How about that? I'm just trying to encourage you, all right? Folks, listen to me. Sometimes we say, and I'm going to talk about this in the church service this morning, preacher, I don't know if I'm really sold on this matter of prayer. And I've prayed for this and it didn't happen. And I prayed for this and it didn't happen. And I prayed for this and it hasn't happened yet. And if we're not careful, the devil sit on our shoulders and say, you're just wasting your time. But I want to tell you this. I watched my mama pray for almost 30 years for her sister, my Aunt Linda, before she got saved. But she got saved. And you know what? Just because God hasn't answered your prayer yet doesn't mean the answer's not on the way. And so you have an opportunity to impact your children, impact your family. Prayer impacts your church. Prayer impacts your church. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, I'm sold on this idea. I'm just going to give you a prayer pep talk for Blessed Oak Baptist Church this morning, all right? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you surely, please tell me you're praying for your church. We cannot do week by week what we do if we don't have prayer involved in it. You know, I talked about that bus minister in Chicago. He said, preacher, what's the greatest lesson? I had, you know, if you were going to ask me, what's the greatest lesson you learned 6 years inner city bus ministry in Chicago? What's the greatest lesson you learned in that time? I learned the power of prayer and the power of united prayer. You know, folks, I think sometimes people think that the reason that the amazing results happened in the bus ministry at First Baptist Church during those years happened because, you know, once a year we gave away goldfish. Well, let me tell you something, that the story that is usually not told is, folks, you understand that on Saturday morning at 6:30, everybody in our bus division met 6:30 every Saturday morning, met and got on our knees together and prayed. You realize that I would meet my lady workers as they got dropped off in Chicago about 10 o'clock, and you know what we would do before we would go visiting? We would pray. You know what we would do at the end of the day, a long day of visiting? The men that were left up there, we'd meet at the park somewhere or a street corner, and we'd get down on our knees. You mean in Chicago? Yeah, right there in the street in the sidewalk, yeah. And get on our knees, sometimes 15, 20, 25 of us, and pray and ask God, Lord, you've got to do something with what we've just done. I'd meet my bus workers, pick up a bus, and I'd go pick up my workers. And you know what we'd do before we pulled out? Thank you, bus captains, for doing this. Every bus route that I rode the weeks that I did, so pleased that bus didn't move off the property before a bus captain stood up and said, let's pray together. I mean, folks, you understand this, that miracles don't happen because of goldfish or cupcakes or because you have a contest. I'm not against those things. But miracles, long-term fruit that remains, miracles happen when people decide that they're going to pray. Now, preacher, when do we pray around here? Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's so important. I think God, a lot of times, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I think God a lot of times gauges what he will or won't do for a church based on the participation of those members in united prayer. And it's not a light thing to not come to Wednesday night church and Wednesday night prayer meeting. If you're a member here, you ought to be here. I understand sometimes work schedules make it impossible, but if you're just sitting home while the rest of the church family's here, let me say this, shame on you. It's not just the teaching of the Bible, it's a time of united prayer. You know what? I'm not going to stand at the door and police people. I'm not doing it. It's not my job to police you. But I don't understand how we dismiss on Wednesday night, and sometimes a third of the congregation will leave and not stay for the, what, 10 minutes maybe that we spend in prayer. And I think maybe God looks down and said, you know, here's that room full of stuff I'd like to send that church. If they were a real praying church, I'd have done it. Say, preacher, you're rebuking us a little bit. Well, if you're praying. If you stay, you feel all right now. But by the way, watch this. Are you rebukable? Or is your old pride just lifting up and your excuses coming to your mind and you don't understand and you don't get it? No, excuse me. You don't understand and you don't get it. Because when we walk out of church and we don't pray, we're telling God, you know what? I don't need to pray. That's what's happening in that room is not important enough for me to stay. And again, you know what I do? I get done. I walk right down there and pray. I couldn't tell you who stays and who doesn't. It's probably I do it on purpose because I don't want to be mad at you. But I'm going to tell you something. Shame on you. I hope the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. This is important stuff around here, folks. If we aren't willing to pray and pay the price of prayer, then we can't expect the miracles of God. Listen, I will tell you this. You know how they say every election, if you don't vote, don't complain? I'm going to tell you that right now. If you don't stay and pray and you're not involved in United Prayer meetings, I don't want to ever hear come out of your mouth any complaint about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Ever. You have no right to complain about what is or isn't happening here because you know what? If you think things ought to be better, different, or more ought to be happening, why don't you get on your knees with us and pray and ask God to do it? It's good for us, amen. That's good for our Sunday morning only crowd. Hey, you know what? We got church on Sunday night. Hey, we got church on Wednesday night. Hey, we got prayer meeting. And you know what? I've had people come to me and say, I love coming here. I mean, people are getting saved. Let me tell you something. Most of what's going to happen this morning has already been determined before the sun came up. It's been determined by God's willingness to respond to our prayers. And so, boy, I'm just trying to sell you on it, man. Those prayer requests before every service, let me kind of tell folks that some folks may not know this, but before every service, you can go back there on the information desk. There's a little box. If you've got a prayer request and you'd like to bring it before the church, if you'll fill that out, the ushers bring it to me. I'll stand up here, and the first thing we do after our opening songs is, here's the prayer request. Now let's get together and pray on this. To me, that's important. That's important. That's a big deal. You know, and so these are the things that we do. Prayer impacts your church. Prayer impacts your pastor. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Paul wrote that under inspiration. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for your preacher, pray for your preacher. I want to really thank the parents here that are teaching their children to pray for the pastor. Okay, if I'm going to be self-serving for a minute, if you want to accuse me of that, just go ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. I need prayer. I need prayer. Every pastor needs prayer, the prayer of God's people, okay? I mean, listen, I mean this, and I've got good support here, and I feel like people are behind me here, and I really mean that. But again, you know what? I've been to churches where I hear a lot of complaining about the pastor, but I don't see much praying for the pastor. And you know what? Again, if you aren't going to pray, then don't complain. Okay, pray. It's so important. I don't know how long ago it was, but you know, I pray with different guys on Wednesday night. But one time I caught Nathan and Jackson was with him, and they knelt down, and you know, I got to pray with them. And Nathan's training Jackson to pray. You know, so Jackson will get started, then he'll get stuck, and Nathan will say, pray for the church, pray for the bus ministry, pray for the preacher. Lord bless the preacher. I thought to myself, what a blessing that was. What a blessing that is. Just, you know, teach your children to pray. Hey, can I say this quickly? Pray for your nation. Pray for your nation. You know, let me have you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go over there and look. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to understand this is a mandate, something that God has commanded us to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 1 and 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, boy, that ought to tell us something, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, and then specifically for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that we ought to pray for our nation and pray for our leaders. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Folks, we're going to have a summer where we're going to have to endure a bunch of political commercials again, amen, and billboard signs and all of the nonsense that sometimes comes with the election. Sometimes I think if we would take a 10-year stretch, take all of the money that was spent on campaigning and just have them donate that money to the national debt, we could probably be out of debt in 10 years. But, you know, all of the hoopla and all of that stuff. But I will tell you this. Listen, this fall, midterm elections, they're important. And you know what? It's important we get the right people in office. And you know how we do that? The number one way to do that is get on our knees and pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. I think you ought to pray. And as an American, I think you ought to vote. Okay? Preacher, what are you, a Democrat or a Republican? Well, I don't tell people this very often, but let me tell you what my party affiliation is. I'm a Christian. A Christian. That's my party affiliation. Okay? And you know what I'm going to do? I don't vote depending on a party. I vote, I research and I vote for the people that are going to stand the closest to the principles and precepts of the Word of God. And by the way, you ought to feel that same way. I've seen churches divided over political parties. That's a bunch of nonsense. You know what? We all ought to be united on the fact that we want leadership in there that is standing by the principles and precepts of the Bible. And so prayer impacts your nation. Let's pray for America. Pray for America. We're going to celebrate another birthday here of America in just about 5 weeks. Well, that ought to be a week of prayer, a time of prayer, a day of prayer. I'm all for the celebration. I'm all for families getting together. I'm definitely for roasting brats and hamburgers. I'm for all of that stuff. But boy, if there's a day, maybe we ought to, as Christians, find a time to spend some extra time on our knees before God. It's the 4th of July. And so prayer impacts our nation. Let me give you one last one, because this may be the biggest impact of prayer. Well, preacher, it sounds like prayer is important. Well, yeah, it is. It impacts God, my family, my church, my pastor, my nation. Let me tell you what I believe prayer impacts more than any of those things. Prayer impacts you. You. The biggest change and the biggest miracle that happens as a result of prayer is what happens in the heart of the person that spends time before God. See, people say prayer changes things. Well, yeah, I can attest to that. But I will tell you, more importantly than it changing things, prayer changes you. And there's something about going boldly to the throne of grace. You realize prayer, where it has to ultimately happen, is at the throne of grace. Now, you ever think about that verse? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay, preacher, I'm kneeling in my house, or I'm kneeling by my sofa, or I come to the church house and I kneel at the altar, or you're kneeling in your, yeah, but we may be kneeling wherever we kneel on this planet, but you know what? I'm going to tell you what I believe. You can say it's spooky, you can say it's weird, but God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And I believe in a very real sense, the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells us, transports our spirit before the presence of Almighty God. Now, by the way, if you'll buy into that and believe that, why would God say come boldly to the throne of grace if it's impossible for us to be in his presence? Somehow we have the ability. If God commanded us to do something, he wouldn't command us to do something that's impossible. So when we really get serious about this matter of prayer and we sequester that time away, I'm talking about sometimes having to do what Jesus did, and he takes people by the arm. And by the way, can I just say, you know, I know folks, listen to me. My job, my responsibilities, I get it to the flock. But part of my responsibility sometimes to the flock is to get away from the flock. Okay? There's times when you may call and say, preacher, I'd really like to. Could I? And I may just say, I can't during that time. You say, preacher, well, what's so important? I don't know, maybe prayer. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, you need me before the throne of grace praying for you more than you need me with you. Let me say it again. You need me before the throne of grace praying for you more than you need me with you. And I think, you know, we want to do both, of course. But, you know, just that alone time. I'm talking about constraining people. But you know what? There's something about that time. There's something about what happens in the presence of God. And sometimes we come to God with our prayer list and we think prayer's about that prayer list. But how many times have I realized that I'm in the presence of God, that on that particular day, it's really not about the prayer list. It's not about what I wanted and what I thought I needed, but it's about what God wanted to do in my heart. And sometimes I'm praying over something and I'm spending time in the presence of God, and God says, okay, are you done talking? Are you listening to folks? See, if we're not careful, we spend all of our prayer time talking and none of it listening. That's kind of rude. Okay, we used to teach our young people the art of conversation. We'd take a ball. We'd say, let me tell you how to carry on a conversation. How are you doing? You throw the ball. Then the person catches the ball. I'm fine. How are you doing? Because we had ball hogs. Some kids are ball hogs. Okay, some people, adults, are ball hogs. Okay, they want to just sit there and talk your ear off, and they don't understand the art of a conversation. Okay, well, sometimes I think we don't understand the art of a conversation when it comes to God. We want to run into his presence. We take no time to be thankful, no time for thanksgiving, no time for praise, no time for worship. We just want to run into his presence with our list. All right, God, this is what I need. Bop, 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 bop. See ya. You know, let me change your prayer life. If I can change your prayer life, I can change your life. Let me say it again. If I can change your prayer life, I can change your life. A lot of times when I'm having my prayer time, I realize sometimes that what I brought, I shouldn't even be mentioning, because it's not even about that. And what I need that day is not for God to listen to me. What I need that day is for me to listen to God. And sometimes we're so busy talking to God and asking him for things, we're not listening for the answer that he's trying to give us and the wisdom that he's trying to give us. And listen, we've got, I think, a lot of folks in our church that are prayer warriors, and you've got a good, strong prayer line. I think that probably we also have some folks that are almost have no, a non-existent prayer line. And this morning, I guess maybe our Sunday school hour, God just moved in my heart this morning to say, hey, let's talk about prayer. We're pulling everybody together. Listen, folks, all these children and teenagers, all of these young people, you know, basically the only chance they have is if the age group here, if the people in this room decide that prayer's important enough to change our lives, to go the extra mile with, to take it seriously. I want to say this to preacher. I just don't feel like I'm doing much for the Lord. You can impact God. You can impact your family. You can impact your church, your pastor, your nation, and most importantly, yourself, through the matter of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. Lord, as we just kind of give a little primer lesson on prayer and encouragement, I hope. Thank you for being willing to love us and listen to us and being patient with us. I pray that we would grow in our prayer life. Lord, maybe we get to the point where we realize prayer's not really so much about what we have come to God to ask, but it's more probably about what you have to say to us. And so, Lord, help us to learn to just tarry. The Bible talks about tarrying before the throne of grace, tarrying in the presence of God. And not there just to demand what we want, but to listen to what you would want from us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this matter of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.